Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is about Trump's so-called peace plan for this illegal war of aggression, which the United States and Israel started against Iran. So the United States has issued this to Iran, and Pakistan's acting as the honest broker, which of course is Iran's neighbor, which has a ambiguous relationship with Iran. I won't go into it right now, has sometimes been ally of the United States, benefited from military aid, cut off quite a few years ago, and now got a common enemy in the Taliban. So, and then some of that was leaked in the media beforehand. Goodness. But I mean, I forecast the Iranians will reject at least most of this. Partly, they're beginning to think they have the Americans on the run, because it's roiled energy markets is unpopular in the United States already, is only going to get more unpopular the longer it goes on. Well, there's a paralepsis. So what else? Yeah, casualties mount that will really make it unpopular. Trump hasn't convinced the American people they need to do this. He's not got a congressional vote. And remember, he's only got 60 days for military action before a congressional vote, and then 30 days to bring them home. So 90 days in total. But in the last 30 days of that, they're supposed to be withdrawing. Will he win a congressional vote? It's dubious. And, you know, he'll be asking for an awful lot of money and to continue this. Congress is the power of the purse. So he suggested this five-day delay. He won't hit Iranian energy facilities, but the Iranians have not agreed to that. Why should they? The USS Gerald Ford, which is an American aircraft carrier, was in the Persian Gulf. No, I don't call it the Arabian Gulf, going by its historic name. It had some internal fire. I don't think anyone was killed. It doesn't seem to be caused by Iranian action, just some mistake, and had to be withdrawn to Greece for repairs. So the US presence in the Gulf is much weaker now, and they're waiting to bring another aircraft carrier into theater. So that's why the Americans have suggested this five-day pause. Perhaps the Iranians are deeply skeptical, saying we negotiated in good faith. You're briefing the media that these were very fruitful meetings, that we were close. We'd offered you a more extensive, more generous deal than was offered to Barack Obama. And you really like to outdo Obama, even to allow US oil companies into Iran to exploit Iranian hydrocarbons. So Western oil companies not allowed in there since the Islamic Revolution 1979. And despite that, you treacherously, on the scale, sort of scale of Pearl Harbor, attacked us despite us parleying with you. We didn't fire a shot at you. We didn't step a toe into your territory. We weren't threatening to do so. We didn't claim an inch of your land. And you launched this attack. So we think you're just playing for time before you can bring more forces into theater. The Iranians feel they've got a bit of advantage, aiming to push that advantage, thinking that, you know, Trump always chickens out, and he appeared to be chickening out already. So he's trying to bring those U.S. Marines into the theater. I read, is it 3,000 or is it 5,000 troops? I don't know. Enough to seize Kharg Island, maybe something on mainland Iran, and so on. The Iranians are allowing some ships that bound to China or friendly countries through the Straits of Hormuz. So this 15-point plan is fascinating what it says. So trying to say, okay, you've got to completely dismantle your nuclear program, and the United Nations has got to be another, the International Atomic Energy Authority to inspect, and so forth. And removing all that 60% enriched uranium. I can't remember what it is, to not have certain missiles and blah, 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 right? It doesn't say regime change. He's rode back on that one. He's already failed on that one. He foolishly set himself as an objective. If the objective was to weaken Iran militarily, well, yes, they destroyed a lot of their capabilities. But he was set a goal too high. It was overambitious, and he's already admitting that ain't going to happen. So in that sense, the Iranians can sell this as a victory. Nothing about territory to no longer arm their proxies. Notably, they didn't use the word terrorist around the Middle East to reduce whatever missiles they can at a limit to be determined later. Well, they want to know, what is that limit? 1,000 kilometers, 100 kilometers? No, because you could change to something ridiculously small. We need to know now. And why should we agree to some sort of ceasefire when you're just going to bring more troops? I mean, the Iranians might say, we're going to agree to a ceasefire so long as no more troops are brought into the region in that time. If we find out you're doing that, we'll continue the war, something like that. So they will reject at least most of these terms, because Iran has the right to a defense capability like every other country. You know, the United States is armed to the teeth. It's got hundreds of military bases around the world, has got military bases in dozens of countries around the world. How on earth is Iran more of a threat to the world peace than the United States? It's not that the USA hasn't invaded other countries or orchestrated a coup d'etat in other countries or indeed bombed other countries since 1945. It's done it a lot. Okay, and sometimes I've approved of what they've done and sometimes I've disapproved. But you see how Iran is aggressed and say, well, we need to have a realistic deterrent. So if in case the United States or Israel or anybody else attacks us, we can hit them back. We need to be able to retaliate. Iran's got land borders with 8 other countries. It's got maritime borders with 6 other countries. If you count the Caspian Seas, it's even more than that. It's 9 other countries and so on. Therefore, we need to have a strong military. We've got this huge area to defend, major territory, to fight against foes external and internal. So that's why that they're not going to accept all of this. They might accept some of this, but there were sweeteners to lift all sanctions in Iran, partly timing. Lift all sanctions now, and the uranium is removed later, something like that. I told you what the Iranians might say, but we're threatened by you. You've got military bases in these countries close to us, in the United Arab Emirates, in Bahrain and Qatar, in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, in Turkey, and in Iraq. So that's unacceptable to us. You used to have them in Afghanistan and used to have them not so far away. Where was it? Uzbekistan, which is obviously not actually bordering Iran, but you know, you could fly there over Iran from there. So no, we're not going to have that. So some of these Gulf Arab countries might turn neutral, say the Omanis. They were also acting as mediators, and they were taken by surprise when the United States and Israel launched all these attacks there. So the Iranians saying, no, let's press our advantage and really drive the price of oil sky high. So it really causes economic pain in the United States. The economy will be just screaming, and then they'll be pleading for us to calm down. So some Republican politicians openly saying they wouldn't vote to continue funding this war. Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, they're supposed to travel to Pakistan to meet an Iranian delegation, but Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, this sort of ultra-Zionist property developer, and Witkoff, who sort of knows nothing about Ukraine, was supposed to be his point man to Ukraine, knows a bit about the Middle East, who is, again, a Zionist hawk. The Iranians say, we were negotiating with these guys, and then we got attacked. So, you know, we had our fingers very badly burnt. You know, fool me once, shame on you. We're not going to be fooled twice. They might sit them on the Americans show some gesture of good faith. So you've got to remember the resilience of the Iranian people, their valor, their willingness to carry on and suffer. I mean, I don't like this war. I wish it never started. I would like it to end now. Would I advise the Iranians to accept these terms or not? I mean, I'm minded to say I wouldn't say advise them not to accept all of them, or maybe most of them, things like that. Obviously, the devil is the detail. What is the range of the missile systems there to be allowed? Ballistic missiles or whatever. It also depends on the speed of the missile, how fast they can shoot. You know, I would prefer if a missile were never fired by anybody ever again. Okay, but get real, they're going to be. So however detestable the Iranian government is, and it is execrable, Iran, whether its government is good or evil, is allowed armed forces, just like everybody else, and you can see why they need them. And it's not the worst regime in the region. The Saudi Arabian regime is more tyrannical than the Iranian one, the Saudi Arabian regime with which the United States is so cozy. Noticeably, even though it regime changed, the American government had never said anything about democracy. Likewise with Cuba, it was always democracy, often sanctimonious nonsense, because when the United States often destroyed democracy and imposed dictatorship when it suited U.S. corporations. Sometimes it did help bring democracy, but they're not even pretending to have want democracy. I suppose in that wise, the Trump administration is at least a little bit honest. But given the chicanery of Trump, given that he contradicts himself several times a day, he is a dotant. The Iranians wisely think that they cannot trust a word that spills from his sinful, slavering maw. Anyway, do what you can to work for peace. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then on PayPal, georgecallan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.